once died for me to pay my debt, to set me free. Invisible, you will not always be, 'cause you're coming to reign as our king, and the saints will fall down at your feet. You're the God of forever and ever, amen. The Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. We sing hallelujah, we worship in awe. Mortal, invisible God. We sing hallelujah, we worship in awe. Immortal, invisible God.
Stars they wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever.
He is alive.
sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Everybody sing.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. Heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks.
Kneel before the
Just gentle and nice. What happened to us? What happened over time that we're no longer so gentle and nice as we walk out? I don't know. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 24. Let me read the scripture to us that we're going to look at. Chapter 24, verses 28 through 35 of the Gospel of Luke. And it says this, "Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, to sing your praises, to hear your word, to pray, to humble ourselves, to be gathered just this short time, to begin our week, to prioritize you, and to come and do what you've told us to do. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to take this off so we can get rid of some of that fuzziness. Let's see if it works. I don't know how many buttons this thing has. There we go. Woo! I don't know how long I'll be in this thing, so if you're going to take a picture, you go ahead. And can I tell you something else? We live in a whole new age and era. You know, ordinarily I say, we don't want to have our cell phones, right? We don't want to have them ringing and stuff like that. And if they do ring, please don't answer it, because I'm tacky enough to come out and be like, "Hey, who is it? Can we all talk to them?" But But you know what you could do that would be pretty awesome? You could check in. If you're a Facebook person, check in when you come to Christ Community Church. Just hit the little check-in deal and share a weird picture. Like somebody shared a weird picture on me. Where's Crystal Kapop? She's not even there. She is. She shared a weird picture on me already this morning. But feel free to do that. We're going to talk about revival in a personal way. I don't know about y'all, but I know this happens to me. There's times when I need to have a turnaround. There's times when I need to have a revival happen in my own heart, in my own spirit. There's times when I just need to say, you know what? Of all the things, of all the blessings God has given me, I still am not walking the way I should. I let things distract me. Am I the only one? Have you ever been distracted? Can I tell you one of the things that I think personal revival is about? It's when we come to say the priority is the Lord our God. The priority is the precious Savior who saved us and bringing Him glory. I mean, there's all kind of stuff in this world to get hung up in. There's all kind of things to focus our attention on and say, wow, this is it, or wow, this is so important. But what happens when we just say, Lord, I want to know You better. I just want to do the things that are necessary or that are good to get closer to You. Y'all, we need that. Y'all need a second chance every once in a while? Or a 100th chance? Or a 10,000th chance? Or whatever your number might be? Don't y'all need just a little bit of a break every now and then? Now, I'm not talking about God sweeping sin under the rug. I'm not talking about just, but every once in a while, doesn't this world kind of stick to you a little too much? And you say, man, I need a time of renewal. Well, don't you know our great God and Savior, He thought about that? And there's different places in the Scripture where He shows us how to draw close to Him. He shows us how to be renewed. You know, when He had the Lord's Supper in the Gospel of John, this is what He said to him. He said, I've cleaned y'all. Y'all clean. Y'all mine. He made the exception of Judas, but He said, you're all mine, and y'all have been cleaned. And when you've been cleaned, all you need then is to have your feet washed every once in a while. You just need to have your feet washed to where you will walk in purity and focus, and that you'll walk with Me. And y'all, that's one of the things that we need to do. Today's service is about that. Today's service is about drawing near to God. It's about saying, Lord, maybe my heart's been divided. Maybe I have doubt. Maybe I have fear. Maybe I have anger. Maybe I have an inappropriate attachment to the frivolous things around me. And when I say frivolous, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But I saw this on Facebook, and I think it was pretty good. It said this, whether you're a Rebels fan or a Dogs fan, whether you're a Wolverines or a Buckeye, whether you're, you know, an Iron War Eagle, from Auburn, I just looked, the Auburn people, I don't know what y'all's thing is, or you're a Roll Tider, whether you're a Fighting Irish or you're somebody else who fights, Fighting Okra, or you're a preacher, thank you. Whatever it is you are, if your team won or if your team lost, you're welcome to come and bow down before the undefeated Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's crushed the serpent under His foot and is going to slay the dragon forevermore. You're welcome to come and worship Him, whoever your earthly team might be. Amen? And it's things like that that make me say, you know what? There's a time when we just need to refocus. There's a time when we say, God, as cool as some of this stuff is, would You just bring my mind back? Would You bring my heart back? Even during hunting season, Lord, would You bring my heart back? And would You bring my mind back that I might not miss this season with You because I have something furry on my brain, you know, four-legged things running through there, big old, I was going to say horns, but you know, I'm from the city. Deer horns. Thank you. I have the peanut gallery up here today. Praise God for the peanut gallery. But I want you to think about this. This is a time when we have to come together and we just recognize, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We need a time to come closer to Jesus. And the scripture shows us how to do that. Okay? So here's an example of it from the Gospel of Luke. First, we need to recognize that we have a need for revival. And that's what I've just been talking about. And I don't know what brings your need on. I know that I have a tendency to get wrapped up in politics sometimes, watching it on the news, listening it on the radio, reading it, and starting to think that I could run the, you know, I can run the world a whole lot better than the people who are running it. You know, I don't know about y'all, but you know, every once in a while I think I got the answers to everything. And it can get me mad. I know that sometimes I can look at the people around me who I love, who don't know the Lord, who are failing, who seem to be stuck in a cycle of self-destruction. And it can make me sad. You know, I just get disappointed. That's exactly where these guys were. I'm going to read a little bit from just a couple lines from the passages that follow the passage that we read. And it says, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Jesus said to them, you walk and are sad. And then he said, oh, foolish ones, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And I just wonder how often we allow the things of this world to blind our eyes to the Christ who loves us. I wonder how often we walk around this world sad and disappointed and discouraged. You know, that's my tendency. I have a tendency to get discouraged. Hey, y'all. Hey, stop. I have a tendency to get discouraged. I have a tendency to kind of say, you know what? I'm just going to withdraw myself. I'm not going to be involved as I can be because I get wore out. Have you noticed how tiring it is to be discouraged? Anybody but me notice how tired it is to be discouraged? All right. Don't let these youngins distract you. Every time you see them, pray for them and me and their mama. It's so tiring. It's so tiring when you don't want to answer the phone, you don't want to answer the door, or you only want to answer the phone. You only want to answer the door. You only want to find something new coming into my life because I'm not content with everything else that's there. Man, don't you wish you could lay that aside? Don't you wish you could just say, hey, I'm not going to be a part of that anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to lay that aside. Well, you can. You can in Christ, but we first have to recognize it. Don't you wish you believed everything God said about you? Don't you wish that when God says, I love you, and you can tell because I gave my son for your soul, don't you wish you were quick to believe that? Don't you wish you were quick to claim that? When he says, you've been healed by my stripes, don't you wish that you would say, yes, I'm going to claim that. I'm going to claim it from the inside out. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to hold on to it. Don't you wish we were fast to believe? Don't you wish that you understood that all your bills have been paid for in heaven? And so this rat race to pay one bill and be going from one point to the next and paycheck to paycheck, this rat race that we so often get into, aren't you glad that's going to end one day? Aren't you glad that if you have some kind of debilitating chronic disease that God has ordained for you to endure in this life, that there is a place of freedom from every ailment where the curse will be lifted and we'll walk around or jump around or fly around however he ordained us to? Isn't that an awesome promise? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you wish you were quick to believe that? When people put you down and they say you're nothing, or they act like you're nothing, don't you wish you believed the Bible more than you believe their words? Don't you think, what if we could be like the opposite of Adam and Eve? When they got in trouble, they ran away from God. What if it, when we blow it, when we sin? Because remember, we're the church that's going to be honest. Your pastor sins. Y'all sin. I know it. I don't know it because I you know, looking through your windows or anything. I know it because I know who you are. You're people like me. And can't you imagine what it would be like that when you sinned and you knew you sinned, you ran to God as opposed to running from him? Because you believed that he could forgive anything. You believed he could restore everything. Don't you believe that about God? Do y'all believe that about God? Yeah. No, the Bible says that. He's going to make everything new. You know, that's a proclamation from the throne. Behold, all things have been made new. Man, I want to see that day. Oh, I believe that day. Whenever you're feeling like you don't have a hope, won't you believe that day? I don't know about y'all, but every time something happens in our community where I see people just give up hope, where I see people just flat out thinking that nothing could ever change for the positive, that there's a darkness so thick that the only way to get out is to run or to hurt themselves, it makes me sick inside. I want to tell them there's a hope in Christ. He is our hope. Don't you believe He can keep you? Don't you believe that He wants you? He came after you. You didn't come after Him first. He loves you. He died on the cross before you was born. And He made it available to you. All I want to say to those who are giving up, those who are about to take their first drink after they hadn't had a drink in a long time, and they're about to crash into the same addiction to take them down the same wrong road they've been before, I want to say, hold on. Call somebody. There's a hope for that one who's on the brink of discouragement, and they know that they can stay discouraged for whole seasons or months or years. I want to say, hold on. Look up. Draw close. He loves you. He didn't stop loving you. He didn't stop thinking you were the cat's meow just because you messed up. He knew you messed up before He came after you. We need to draw close to that God. We need to recognize our need for Him. And in that, I'm going to tell you something. When there's a group of people who recognize their need for God and they start drawing closer to God, you know what happens? They start drawing closer to each other too. Can I tell you something that we need in this world? And no apologies. We need one another. That's the bottom line. We need one another. It's not a want. I know we're all tough American folks. I could live out in the woods by myself forever. You a liar. You'll go crazy. You end up in Colorado shooting at some Planned Parenthood thing. I mean, it happens, doesn't it? If you don't let people into the deepest secrets of your life, there will be a secret that grows and becomes so entangling that the only way you think you can get out of it is by ending your life. It happens, doesn't it? Happens right under our noses, doesn't it? You'll give up. You'll quit. You'll punch the card. You'll do whatever because you will sell God short. You'll sell us short. Because I'm going to tell you, there's people. There are people who will stick by you. There are people who will follow God's instructions to love you anyway. And we need that. Man, it's no coincidence that these guys on the road, they weren't alone. But what they were doing was fostering their own self-pity. Man, we need some folks. You know, part of the revival that happened, part of the signs of revival is that they were drawn back into a group of believers. When they were just on their own, the two of them, they were fueling their doubt. They were fueling their self-woe, and they were kind of like, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, Jesus had died. That they, you know, wouldn't it be a shame to miss the fact that Jesus is alive because you're so woeful over the fact that He died? He died for you voluntarily. He's alive today, so come on off the cross and let's go. I mean, we need to focus on it, but we don't need to be wrapped up in self-pity. He died for you. He finished the work, and He's alive today, and He'll walk with us. But look at what happened. Look in verse 33. Here's one of the signs of revival. It says, so they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. You want to know one of the signs of revival? Is when people who know that they need one another in the Lord start gathering up together. The people who know that they need each other in the Lord and they're willing to be used. I have a friend of mine I still call him my friend. I haven't talked to him, but I'm going to tell you a story about somebody who just never gave up on him. His name is Sam. I'll just leave it at that. He was a star. He was a star at seminary. I mean, he was just popular. He was being used by the Southern Baptist Convention. He was one of the top youth speakers at Ridgecrest in North Carolina, at Glorieta in New Mexico. He was a popular revival speaker. He wasn't a pastor. He was all over the place speaking. And he allowed something to get in his life, a perversion. And he got caught. And it was illegal what he was doing. He wasn't He wasn't hurting kids or doing, you know, some of those things. But, I mean, he was peeping on people. He put up cameras when he stayed at someone's house, and he was watching them. Yeah, it was weird. And they found out that he had been involved in all this stuff. And he got put to jail. And a lot of people just said, wrote him off. Here's a preacher who did this junk. And they wrote him off. And he's in jail in Mississippi over in Holly Springs right now. But one of our professors, Steve Wilkes, you all know him. Steve stays in constant contact with him. Steve told me that Sam, who has now repented, is seeing a revival happen in that jail. Now, this is a person who he and his wife, they weren't able to have children, so they had adopted. Of course, after this happened, there was a divorce. I don't know what happened to the child. I don't even know what happened. But I know this, that God can still use them and that God is still using them. And I don't know many situations as desperate as that one. I thank God that I don't. But you know what? There's a group. And God used him to bring other people into that group, even those who were in jail who'd done all kinds of awful things. We need each other. One of the signs of revival is when people gather up together. Let me tell you another sign. Another sign is our eyes are open. Look in verse 31. It says, then their eyes were open. Their eyes were open, and they knew him. Now, listen. I know in this group that if I said, do y'all know Jesus? Everybody would be like, yeah, I know Jesus. He's a good old boy. He's a good dude, that Jesus. He's the man upstairs, don't you know? We all know him. You believe in God? Oh, yeah, brother, I believe in God. But see, this was a whole new thing. They came to recognize Christ in their despair. They came to recognize him in their need. Their eyes were opened to him in a whole new way. It says, before, their eyes were restrained and they didn't know him because they were focused on all these other things. But there was a way it was opened up that he's right there with you. Now, let me tell you some things. I hope this is not disturbing, but the God Almighty of the universe, he knows you in your home. He knows you in your car. He knows you at work. And this is not Santa Claus, okay? This is not he sees you when he's sleeping and all that stuff. This is the real deal, the God who is. Now, what's awesome is when he opens our eyes and we begin to see in our homes, in our cars, at our work, at our church, in our yards, we have the opportunity to know him there. He knows you when you don't feel like wanting to talk to anybody, he still knows you. When you feel as hurt as just a raw nerve, if anybody says something, looks at you, just are, ugh, I don't want to talk. He knows you then. When you are elated and happy and joyful, he knows you then. But what's awesome is when he opens our eyes and we see that he's there then too. We come to know him in those times of despair. We come to know him in those times of joy. We come to know that we weren't alone. We come to know that he is all in all, and he's everywhere. Have your eyes been opened? I'll tell you a real quick story how this changed my prayer life. I've always struggled with praying. Now, I mean, I pray, but I struggled. I just honest, I've shared that with y'all before. But it's come a long way, and one of the great insights was this. My voice doesn't have to hit heaven for God to hear me. How many of us pray in that language, that made-up phony language? Sometimes we even pray, we don't read King James, but I know some people who still pray King James. Thou art, showest thou me thy footeth of the crosseth. And it's not even how we talk, but what it reveals is that our prayer language doesn't mesh with our real language because somehow or another there's a disconnect. Can I tell you, when I learned that I could pray to God while I was driving in my car and I didn't have to, Lord, I hope you hear me. Can you hear me now? You know, he's got great coverage. He doesn't drop calls. And you can just say, Lord, I know you're with me and I need you. I need you now. But that's an eye-opening thing. That's an eye-opening. That's a knowledge thing. Their eyes were open and they knew him. Lastly, last sign of revival in this passage is a burning heart. Not the kind that you get after you put too much hot sauce on your potatoes. You know, it's the kind that drives you. It's a passion. You know, one of the things we saw yesterday as we watched the games, we watched the rivalry week. I can't even say it's like that commercial. Anyways, rivalry week. We watched that. Rivalry week. We saw passion. You know, we saw people painted up in the stands. We saw, they said at that stadium at the Egg Bowl last night, I forget how many decibels they said. They said it was the loudest stadium they had experienced all year because they measure it. They said it was louder than anywhere else yesterday. It's a passion. It's a driving thing. One of the signs of revival is when your heart is a passion. When your heart gets inflamed for Christ and you start saying, you know what? I don't go to church because I got to. I go because I get to. I don't read my Bible because I'm guilty. I read it because in there I find the words of eternal life. I don't worship Jesus because somebody told me it's the right thing to do. I worship Jesus because my eyes are open and I see him and he's worthy. And I want to pour my heart out before him. I want to pour my life out before him. If he'll use me to bring glory to himself, then my life has been worth the living. That's a burning heart. Oh, Lord, give us that burning heart. Now, some of y'all might come next week painted up for Jesus. Wouldn't we think you were weird? Whole row guys back there, five guys, no shirts, Jesus across their chest. Whole nother section. Every time we said Jesus, they rang cowbells. When we came down into the sanctuary, we all locked up and we'd, woo! It would seem weird, wouldn't it? But you're like, yeah, that seems kind of weird. We had locked it in, man. We'd lock it in right here, and everybody would lock arms, and we'd sway back and forth like they start at Ole Miss. We gave our sanctuary a name, called it the Big House. It seemed a little weird, wouldn't it? But I want you to ask yourself, how come? How come? Why? Now, I ain't daring anybody, because I know there's probably some folks here who'd do it. Now, we don't need to see no bare-chested Jesus folks running around. But the bottom line is this: let your passion for Christ grow. Let it grow and let it show. That's part of the sign of revival, is when your passion, the flame around your heart begins to grow and you're ready for him to do whatever. What if he called on you? Yeah, I'm talking to you, Josh Austin, right there. There's only one person in this whole church that day. What if he called on you, man? That's what happens when you're a visitor for the first time. We just call you out like that. No, I'm sorry, brother. We're glad that you're here. What if he called on you? Are you ready in your heart to respond? Is there a flame? Is the pilot light lit and you're ready? Are you ready? What might he call on you to do? Everything from greet people in the parking lot, to teach a class, to go on a mission trip, to write somebody a letter, to go visit, to open your home up and say, come on in, you're welcome here, look in the fridge, see what I got, make yourself at home. What might he use you to do? Are you ready? Do you have a passion in your heart that says, Jesus, whatever you want, I'm ready to do because my heart's on fire. It's on fire just for you. Are you ready for that? I hope so. That's what a sign of revival. Now, lastly, I want to show you God's means. I want us to receive God's means for revival. And y'all, we can say revival, it includes a lot of different things. But the Bible speaks about some things that God uses, that are God's tools. You know, there's all different kinds of things, but there's two right here that are necessary for revival. The first one has to do with the Scripture. The Scripture is just dominating in this whole chapter. And it says this. In that verse right before we start in verse 27, it says, he expounded, which means to expose, to explain. He explained this to them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. So the revival that happened in these guys' lives, it didn't happen without the Scriptures being opened. And that's the other verse. It says down there towards the end, when it talked about their heart being on fire, in verse 32, it says, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the Scriptures to us? Open eyes are a sign of revival. Open Scripture is the means of revival. You get what I'm saying? Open eyes is what he gives us as a result. What does he use to open our eyes? He uses the open Scripture. He uses the Word. Man, we need to get in the Word. That's one of the God-ordained means of revival. And let me tell you this next one. And it's not one that we're really big on. I'm just talking about as Baptists, and we are a Baptist church. We freak everybody out when we say that. Like, I guess today it's good. I got my suit on. We are a Baptist church. I'm standing behind my pulpit. I have a suit, tie, Baptist, smile. And we're not ashamed of being Baptists. It's a cool thing. We cooperate with some of the most effective ministries in the world, but I digress. One of the things that we're not really big on is we don't really emphasize the Lord's Supper. And it's just part of our tradition, and we don't really do it. But we're going to practice the Lord's Supper today. And we do that. We do it five times a year. Every fifth Sunday, we practice the Lord's Supper. Even if it's the second Sunday of being in our new building, we still practice the Lord's Supper on that Sunday because it's important. And I just want you to hear. I want you to hear this. It says, then he took bread. And it's verse 29. Verse 30. He took bread. He blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then verse 35 says this, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Y'all, this is talking about the Lord's Supper. This is talking about that communion. It's called communion for a reason. To commune with somebody means you meet with them. It means you come to their table. In the Lord's Supper, this is what God is saying. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome at my table. Now look, everyone's welcome to the church building. Amen? We don't hold nobody out. It don't matter who you are, what your sin is, where you've been, what. It don't matter. You're welcome here. But then as we meet together, we need to know this. There's a table that's the Lord's table. And he says, if you've put your faith in me, you are welcome at my table. You're welcome at this special fellowship. And I believe this. When the body of Christ, the church, puts their mind on the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that was shed for them, and they put that in its proper perspective, they're getting ready to commune with God and have revival. Jesus told us to do this. This is not a Baptist thing or a Catholic thing or an Episcopal thing or a Methodist thing or a Presbyterian thing or any other kind of thing you can think of. Jesus said, do this. What an opportunity we have to do this and to share the Lord's Supper. And so that's what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to end with. Before we do that, oh, man, I wanted to take, oh, y'all bear with me, because I wanted to take the offering beforehand. I want this to be the last thing we do. Mr. Johnny, do you think we can do that? We're going to take the Lord's Supper, but we're going to take the offering first. So if the ushers would come forward, and I know I just messed the whole band up. I done messed everybody up, but that's all right. We're going to take the offering. And this is while they're coming up for the offering, let me tell you what we're going to do. At the end of the Lord's Supper, after we've taken it, we are going to be dismissed. Okay, that's it. We're going to end with that on our mind. We're going to end with the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ on our mind. And we're not going to do nothing else. We're not going to make no other announcements unless we got some kind of urgent announcement to make. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to let that rest on our brain, and we're going to go out of here with the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on our brains. Do y'all understand? All right. So we're going to take up this offering now. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for everybody responding to the crazy pastor and the disorder that he just brought in. But Lord, you know. And I pray, Lord, that as we do this, that the only thing that would be in our brain when we're done with this service is how you laid your life down for us. And we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome. I'm sorry.
Once unbroken, will fall down.
Every knee falls down before thee. Every tongue offers you praise.
I'm going to ask the fellows that I asked to come help me, if you'll come forward now and help me. At Christ Community, we do it a little bit different. We're going to invite you to come forward. There'll be a station right here and a station right there. And just take the bread and take the juice. But I'm going to lead us in a prayer first. And like I said, you are welcome at the Lord's table. If you've given your life to Christ, you are welcome at the Lord's table. These are our parking lot attendants, and they're going to come first. But if you've done this, you are so welcome at the Lord's table. And when we're finished, you just come back to your seats, and then we'll have a dismissal, okay, a dismissing prayer, and we'll be done. But y'all listen, there is nothing that this church or any church can offer you more than the sacrifice that Jesus gave. There's nothing more. That's the highest. There's nothing else we can do. And so when we celebrate this, realize that we are celebrating the essence of who we are. We are people who've been saved by Christ through his blood and his body. These are symbols that we take, but we've been saved by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. And if you want to celebrate that, then we invite you to come if you've put your faith in them already. Father God, Lord, help us. I pray that as we take this supper, that you would be glorified, that you, Father, would stand above the rest in our hearts and our minds, that there would be none compared to you in how we feel and how we express our love and how we exercise our will, that you would have that highest order, And Lord, in that time when you took bread and you took wine and you broke it among your disciples, you said, this is the agreement. This is the unbreakable covenant between God and man. It's in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Protect our church. Protect your people from becoming bedazzled with anything else. But that we only would hope in you and what you've done for us. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all come down and join us now. You come to the bread first and then the cup. Lauren is going to be meeting today with 4 to 10-year-old girls who are interested in dance and drama. So, and from 2 to 3 o'clock? From 2 to 3 o'clock. We didn't make that message earlier, but this will be the first Sunday. They're going to be practicing here down in room 4, I think, but we'll direct you once you get here. And that's just going to be an awesome thing. Go with Christ on your mind. He gave it all for you. It's time for us to walk with Him. Father God, as we leave this place, infuse in us the reality that you loved us more than anybody else to bring us into your family, to bring us into your church, your gathered people on whom you pour out grace and blessing and your presence and your spirit. Father, I pray that as we go, we would truly be your people. More and more in how we live and how we act. Father, make us your own, your very own. And we love you because you loved us so much. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for letting me be your pastor. I love you. Ready? Break.